And that's right. We've got open lines for you this hour. Who knows what's going to happen? I'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're at the OnStar Studios in Detroit, Michigan, overlooking the Detroit River, off into Windsor, Canada as well. Good timing, too, not only to do this program here with OnStar and everything that GM is going through, fighting back, and they will fight back. My mother's 80th birthday, we're going to celebrate it on Saturday morning. And then my dad was released from the hospital, thanks in part to your prayers. And he's doing okay. I mean, he's 86, but he's holding his own. And we thought we were going to lose him about a week or so ago. So he's come back strong. And I'll be in Los Angeles on Monday. And, you know, in St. Louis, my daughter checks on my place every once in a while. And she called me up a couple weeks ago and said, Dad, there's a woman's voice in the house. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's haunted. Your house is haunted. And I said, Christy, it's not haunted. She says, no, it is. I hear a woman's voice in here. I'm getting out of here. And she left. Well, when I came back from Los Angeles to St. Louis, I go in the house. And sure enough, I hear a woman's voice in the house, clearly. So I go back upstairs and I check, and it was a smoke alarm. The battery had died, and I have the kind where it has a computer woman's voice, and she was going, battery's low, battery's low. And my daughter thought that the house was haunted. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to Matthew in Illinois. Welcome to Coast, Matthew. You're on the air with us.
Oh,
hi, Matthew.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
What a story, huh?
I have been trying to get on for the past couple of days. I know it's not much, but I just wanted to express my thanks so much. The show has brought the light into my life.
Super.
More than you'll ever know. I'll try to make it quick. I live in Tinley Park, Illinois. I'm formerly from Chicago, and I used to live at my grandmother's house by Midway Airport, and something interesting happened there. Five days before I was born, my great-grandfather died in a room I used to sleep in, but I didn't know this, and supposedly two light orbs came into the house, and then they took my grandfather and left, and my great-grandmother claims to see him kind of fly by.
Jeez.
And there's been no history of mental illness in my family or anything like this. I have no reason to make this up. I found this out about maybe 6 months to a year ago. I was going through some personal issues, and in that room, I was like, I will be one with the universe. I mean, I will just do my best. And about a week later, I found the story out because my dad got a little drunk with my brother and, you know, slipped the tongue. And when I was little, they used to call this the lightning that went through the room because they didn't want to say that in front of little kids, you know?
So they knew about this.
Yes, yes. This was the family story. And I just wanted to pass that along. And Gary Spivey, your last guest, just helped me out greatly. I asked God and my angel for a new soul. And I felt a flush come over me and kind of tingly feeling like he described, and because I'm a skeptic, I'm always, I want to believe, and it's hard, and anyways, that's the end of my story, and I just want to thank you guys so much.
Well, you've got the new version of souls, Matthew.
Yes, yes, I got the new version of souls, whatever, and I believe that there's good things coming, and you guys are good, and there's something definitely positive that is coming.
Well, let me tell you, you keep thinking that way, it will be positive for you. Let's go to Los Angeles. Hello, Katie. Welcome to Coast.
Hi. How is everybody?
Everybody's fine. Of course, it's just me now. I'm okay.
Congratulations on your mother's birthday this tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're looking forward to it. And all my
father as well. Congratulations.
My kids drove up from St. Louis, so they're in Detroit now, and it's just going to be a neat time.
You know, I was, I have a question. I was wondering if maybe anybody has ever heard of something like this. I had a really strange experience happen to me last year here in L.A. I was having a weird day, sort of had an emotional breakdown, and all of a sudden I got really dizzy and I had to lay down. And I was laying down, and the next thing I know, my body was, like, levitating above my couch.
Oh, you had an OBE.
Well, I've had those before when I was a child. I used to fly out of my body a lot. And, you know, I recognized it, but I wasn't in control of it. There was something else there that was pulling me out and sort of bouncing me, like, around my house, bringing me up to, like, the ceiling and bringing me back
down. You mean in this most recent issue?
Yeah, and it was really strange, and this kind of happened for, like, the next couple days, and it took me a while to get out of it. I looked at the clock, and it was almost 2 hours later when I finally came out of it. But it gave me really bad vertigo for months.
Well, let me tell you, whatever funk you were in, Katie, it was a bad one.
Yeah. But I just don't, I mean, I tried to feel, like, a vibe of, like, a spirit or an entity, and, like, I couldn't get anything. All I saw was something really dark in a corner somewhere that was really big. But nothing else.
So now have things turned around for you?
Well, yeah, everything's great. I just had a beautiful little baby girl.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So
what's her name? What's her name?
Her name is Indikaya.
Indikaya?
Yes.
That's a gorgeous name. That's different. How'd you get that?
You know, I love the name Kaya, and my great-grandmother's name was India, and I just...
Perfect. So you matched it. Okay, good for you. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
I am so insulted, Mr. Norrie. How dare you have a willful woman answering your phones tonight?
Well, that's because Tom's in Detroit with me.
What's he doing there in Detroit with you? Oh, don't get me off the subject. Because
he's my producer, JC. What? He's my producer.
Then why isn't he working your phones? He's being a lazy producer, and that's a lout, and that's sloth, and that's one of the seven deadly sins.
Do you know how difficult it is to do a remote broadcast? You just
don't
show
care.
Up.
Don't lie to me, Mr. Norrie, about
the other talk show hosts come with 25 people. I bring one.
That's because you highly train your criminal constituents to do your jobs, your dirty jobs. But that's not why I called tonight, Mr. Norrie.
Well, why did you call?
I called tonight because the Lord is anointing me to speak against the bastard bankers that have collapsed this economy on purpose. This is being driven on purpose, Mr. Bell, to destroy America.
Mr. Bell?
That's right, because I know he's sitting right there behind you. Every word I'm saying.
Listen, this may be the first time, JC, that I agree with you.
They are collapsing this economy. How many more people have to be thrown out into the streets as they come and kick you out of your home? You know what? When they come for your guns, people, you're not even going to have a door for them to kick in anymore because you're going to be living under a rock when they come for your guns. You're not going to have a house because they will not do what America needs to be done. How many grabbing hands are going to grab all they can all for themselves? And they're giving these bailouts to these slobbering bankers helping bankers instead of helping people and Christians and Americans.
JC, this is the first time I agree with you.
Well,
I'm in shock.
I'm talking some sense into your head finally after all these years, because I tell you what, Mr. Norrie, this is the corruption of my America. I am seeing the destruction of my. They're using the same tactic that we used to destroy the Russians and the Soviet Union against us.
I agree with this, JC. You keep talking like that.
Why are they doing this to America?
You keep talking like that. I may give you your own segment on this show.
How many banks are going to foreclose? How many crack houses are on your block now because the bank would not forgive and would not lower interest rates on the folks that need it when all they're doing is begging the mamas are crying, don't kick me and my babies out in the street?
I like this time, JC.
Who are taking handouts will not do the will of the people. Then what do we have here?
JC, you send me an email with your phone number, and I'll have our staff get a hold of you. And perhaps we can do a segment with you once in a while. That's the first time I've heard you in 6 years say anything that made any sense. Let's go west of the Rockies. Raphael in the state of Washington. It's your turn. Hey, Raph.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. What's going on?
That is a heck of an act to follow right there.
It is, but you have a very angelic name.
Hey, thank you. Well, I just had, I'm a writer and executive producer.
Oh, are you? For what?
Film. I do film.
Good for you.
And, some days, yeah.
Anything we would know about?
A film I did a few years back is called Time Travel _Zero.
Hmm.
And it's about John Titor, or John Titor.
Okay, you did that. All right.
Right. Well, I wrote part of it because Fluff, it's a docudrama, let's call it. And it's taken all these years for it to finally come to fruition, and it goes on IMDb yesterday. So I get a call. They say, hey.
Which is a website, just so people don't know, that has movies and actors and actresses on there, TV shows. I think I'm on it for a couple shows I did for Sci-Fi. It's a great website for information. Go ahead.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's great. And when you get on there, basically you're legitimized as having a film or being somebody.
True.
But what happened is I got a call. They said, oh, we're on IMDb. Everything is cool. So I go online to take a look. Next thing I see is North Korea has dissolved their treaty or truce.
They've dumped the armistice.
Exactly. And the movie is based around that dumping. It's
okay.
About them stopping the truce and attacking.
How'd you get this done that fast?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking. Within an hour and a half of me being notified that it was on IMDb, they had dropped the truce.
This is incredible.
Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. And I've been thinking about it just intensively for the past day and a half. I mean, how, you know, for a writer, when something comes true when you're writing, it just blows your mind.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's almost that you're clairvoyant. How can people see this?
Actually, the Suits were doing their thing. I've gone on, you know, started writing other things.
All right, so you did what you had to do.
Exactly. And now they call up, hey, you're on IMDb again. I'm like, great, sweet, cool. Go back out. And now North Korea is doing exactly what they said that John Titor said they would do. To a point. I mean.
Yeah, to a point.
It's not word for word, but close enough that it spooked me out.
And you write in Washington. How come you're not in L.A.?
Oh, you don't want to be in L.A.
Okay.
Too scary down there.
So you can take your business up where you are.
Well, you know, nowadays you have a laptop computer and a telephone. You're good to go.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Back in the day, you had to be in L.A., not now.
Okay.
Well, where are you at now?
Right now, I'm in Detroit.
Then you're doing a remote, correct?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Then I'll be in L.A., then I'll be in St. Louis, and then I'll be who knows where.
Exactly.
Maybe Honolulu.
Yeah, check out the thing. It's IMDb, Time Traveler_0.
You got it.
And check the time it went on and the times they took away the truth. It's
send us a DVD to our L.A. office.
You guys have an office in L.A.?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll be down there next week, actually.
All right. Well, call us. Call Tommy.
Okay.
All right.
Very cool. You have a good night.
Bye. We'll do that. I'd like to see that. Great timing. John Titor. Time for a John Titor story, Tom, isn't it? Timing. By the way, what are you doing here in Detroit? What do you do? He's working. Believe me, he's working his head off. Good producer. Good staff, by the way. We've got a number of people. You only hear about a certain amount of folks who work on Coast to Coast. This is like a glacier where you see the tip sticking out of the water. Underneath the water, all these people are all over the place working. Salespeople and technicians, and you know, you see the front line folks. Dan in Memphis, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Dan.
Hey, George, an honor to speak with you finally.
Thanks. How are things in Memphis barbecue land?
Well, we just finished our Memphis in May barbecue, and I think everybody gained about 5 pounds and had a wonderful time there. I've been a devoted Coast listener for about 15 years. I was a great devotee of Art Bell. When
you.
I found out the great Nighthawk was taking over, I was just very glad.
You picked me up when I was in St. Louis, I bet, down there.
I'm a retired naval aviator, and then I flew for FedEx, and I would come into St. Louis, and I would make it a point to listen to your show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
What
and
I wanted
thanks,
to say
thanks
is,
for serving, too, by the way.
Well, thank you, and thank you for serving. We have started a thing here in the United States for Vietnam veterans that have just stifled all of their feelings all these years. George, over 37,000 Vietnam vets have either committed suicide or their death was suspicious of a suicide.
37,000, Dan?
Yes.
That's almost the amount that died in the war.
Well, it's just Over the years, 37,000 men and women have either committed suicide or their death was the suspected suicide, but they couldn't believe it. We've got this thing going across the United States now. We've got therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, people that can help these guys with medicine, therapy, and it's not such a stigma as it was when we came home, you know.
Right.
We were baby killers, and nobody said anything because we nobody wanted to hear us. But now we've got this thing rolling, and it's pretty much going on east of the Mississippi. We've got 1,100 facilities that are going up that are in online now, and we've got another 700 that are coming online in August.
Well, how can people reach out to this, Dan?
You call any of your VA centers in any town. You have a VA center, or you can call 1-800. I'm sorry, I don't get it. VA. Anyway, it's just any VA center or any VFW facility in any town will give you the information. Now, we've got guys that have been homeless for years that we've gotten off the streets and got them with their meds for the anxiety and the horror that they live through daily, and got these guys going again, and they become very productive citizens because these men had a lot of experience, and we don't have that much anymore. You know what I mean, George?
I'm glad that this is finally happening.
Well, it is, and myself and about 70 other pilots and people in infantry officers and requisition officers we started this thing in Atlanta, and I'm in Memphis now as I'm a charter pilot now. But it's about time, is what I'm saying.
And what can we do too to help you? Is there anything else we can do?
No, George, I just wanted to get on your show and tell you that I really am an avid addict of you and the Coast. And thanks for letting me say what I needed to say.
Thank you. Anytime you need us, you just let me know. I think that's just incredible that you and so many other people would devote your time and energies to help our vets. I really do. Chris in Indianapolis, east of the Rockies. I think we have some quick time for you. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Okay, hey, great. How you doing, George?
Good. What's up?
Good. Not much. I was just wanting to call to explain a little bit of what's went on ever since I read one of Bruce Goldberg's books.
What happened to you? As a matter of fact, he just sent me an email today. He's writing another book.
Oh, did he? Great. Yeah. I've never read any of his books. Matter of fact, I've never heard of him up until I started listening to you about a year ago.
He's an expert on reincarnation.
Yeah, it seems to make a lot of sense. And when I picked up the book and started reading, it just seemed like I already knew that or something. I have no idea. It's real weird, but it was an astral projection book, and ever since that I, you know, tried that practice, it seems as if I've became a totally different person. I mean, ever since that experience, it was really scary, and it's actually seemed to work. But so
well, it does.
That I have
tried
it.
You know what? You're fortunate that you have the ability to do this when you want to. I can't. It happened to me once when I was 11 years old. I've never been able to duplicate it again. You should keep doing it. I think it'll help.
Yeah. I've only, like I said, I've only done it once. But ever since then, I've had like this emotional overcoming of pure love almost. It is really strange.
You tapped into something, Chris. You tapped into something great. We'll be back in a moment with callers from South Carolina, Canada, Tacoma, Washington, and California on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our traditional shout-out. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio station across North America, Streamlink members, XM Satellite, Channel 165 folks, hi. And then the various chat rooms and groups, NighthawkZone.com folks, headed up by a guy named Bad Boy, Imaginative Worlds Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, the Yahoo chat groups, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, and it goes on and on. And also Katie and Dan representing OnStar here for getting us on the air here in Detroit. Back in a moment with final open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. And let's go to the phone. South Carolina we go. Brad, thanks for holding so long. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, this is the first time in 8 years I've got through.
Good. All right.
Okay, what I was wanting to say was, you know, I drive for a living, and where I live, this one stretch of road seems like I hit the same spirit in the same spot every time.
What happens?
Yeah, I hit him, and he comes right up to the like the window and has the same expression on his face.
You see him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's it look like?
He has a horrible expression on his face. It's like it's something that somebody got hit a long time ago, and his spirit is still there.
In that spot?
In that same spot.
And is it like, when you hit it, I mean, do you know you're coming up on it? Can you see it?
No, it just happens all of a sudden.
All right, and then you see it right after that?
Yes.
God. Now, have you been able to do any research, Brad, and find out what happened, who died?
I haven't had a chance to yet. I would like to. And because I know there have been accidents in that one area of the road that I go in, because there's some dark spots there, and people cross there all the time.
That's amazing. Can you describe what this thing looks like?
It happens so darn fast. I just, I'm driving, going down the hill, and all of a sudden I see him come up against the window.
Do you hear anything?
No.
Man, that's got to be frightening. You just see some spirit, like, stuck on your window?
Yeah, for a brief second, and then he disappears.
All right, and you said he, so I assume he was a male in his human life.
I'm presuming he is. I can't tell if he's male or female.
Okay.
It's just form there that comes up to, the window face first. And it's, I'm assuming it's a male.
What kind of road is it?
It's a four-lane road, major road, going out of town. It's near a ballpark and a playfield.
And, it could have been a car accident, too, a long time ago.
That's possible because, there are car accidents there a lot, and there's also people who have got hit there a lot from crossing.
Right, and then it could go way back. Maybe he got thrown off of a carriage or something.
Might have, because, where I live in Spartanburg, it's over 300 years old at the town.
Yeah. That's something. Now, do other people say this too, or are you the only one that this is happening
to? I'm the only one. As far as I know, I'm the only one that has seen this.
God, that's bizarre.
And I've mentioned it in a chat room I go to, and they said I wasn't weird. And it goes, I was starting to wonder about this
because
I have seen other things before, like parts of shadow people or whatever walking across the hallway where I used to live.
Do you live in this region, Brad, or are you just driving?
I live here. I've been here for 41 years now.
See if you can find out if anybody died in that area. I know it's probably difficult to track that down, but, you never know. That'd be a great story.
It would be. And, I got one, I've been in the exercise room where I live, and I've seen, on the treadmill, and I've seen people behind me on the glass window, somebody looking around, see if I was going to get done with the treadmill, people walking by, and I'm the only one there.
Man, you've got these spirits hanging all over the place.
It's starting to make me wonder.
You're a magnet for them. But, try to find out what happened there a long time ago. International Line, Ken, in Montreal. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
Morning to you, sir.
And God bless you for your show. I mean, you're sending out the truth to a lot of people.
We're going to keep doing it, too, Ken.
By the way, I believe that Gary said that there's a big change in 2012.
Yes, he believes that.
I believe that we're about to mutate.
How so? You mean because of the environment?
No, not that way. Harmonic level.
Ah.
We're going up a notch.
Good. We need it.
Yes, because the bad guys have won long enough, and it's time for the good guys to win.
Absolutely. And as you know, the bad guys aren't done yet.
Oh, no, they're going to try to do their worst in the next 3 years, but we're going to win, so no worries.
Let's keep it up. All right, thanks, Kenny. Let's go to Bruce. Whereabouts in California are you, Bruce?
All right, George, I'm in Avila Beach, California, 200 okay. miles north of L.A.
All righty, great.
Go Lakers. They won tonight.
They're hot.
Yeah. Good thing you're not there, huh? They're partying like crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to stay out of that picture for a while.
Yeah. Hey, I got a story. You know, last week, James, who speaks to the deceased.
James von Prague, yes.
Yeah, that was a fantastic show you had with him, and I tried to get on that night because I wanted to share something with him.
All right, tell us.
Okay, my deceased wife, we've been gone now. She's been gone about 3 months. We were having a terrible time. The children had left. I'm 60 years old. And the children had left, and she was just getting impossible for some reason to live with ever since children left. And I was at wit's end. I didn't know what to do. I was ready to just sign everything over to her, the house, money, and I was ready to just to either disappear or, you know, I just couldn't take it anymore. So her and I were going to the bank to sign the papers, and I had been praying to St. Michael, the angel Michael. And okay. I've heard angels, how they intercede in our lives.
Sure.
And I was praying and praying for a couple months to Michael. You've got to help me. You've got to get me out of this situation. I don't know. I'm desperate. And we were going to sign everything to the bank. And I believe that Michael helped me the day we went to the bank. The day we went to the bank, we were standing in line, and two people up from us, the gentleman, which was like two people up, went to the teller and demanded money, pulled a gun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were scared. And he got the money, turned around. I guess he was afraid the guy in front of us was going to, you know.
Jump him or something.
We'll be able to say who he was to the
sure. Identify him.
Right, yes. And so he says, did you see me rob this bank? And the guy goes, well, yeah. And he shot him in the chest and killed him. Right. Well, I was just shaking like a leaf. He pointed a gun at me and said, did you see me too? Did you too see me do rob this bank? I said, I didn't know what to say. And it was like Michael gave me the words. All I could say was, heavens no, but my wife did. He shot her in the chest.
Oh, that's how she died?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
And so this isn't the end of the story, George. About 3 weeks later, I sometimes collect aluminum cans because I pop the tops and get to Ronald McDonald's house for dialysis treatments for kids.
Okay, okay.
And I was out on the pier, because we have a pier here. It's a beach town. I was getting aluminum cans. I had my head down in a can, and I hear this. I was all alone out there at 2 in the morning. And I hear this female chuckling. I look up, I get up, and I look up, and there's a woman standing on a pier with a gentleman in a white suit on here, just glowing body. And I look at her, and she had the face of my wife. I could not believe it. And something told me this is Michael and her. And she had her arm in his.
And she's and I dropped my
back cans, and I thought some of them were rolling off the pier. I grabbed them. I looked back up, and they had disappeared.
They were gone.
They were gone.
What a great story. And tell me they caught this lowlife, did they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Put them away. Put them away forever.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So Bruce, my life is much better. I'm back with my older mother, helping take care of her, and you know, God rest her soul. I believe she's happier than she ever was.
Absolutely, thanks, Bruce. We're here for you anytime you need it.
Well, Yes, sir, and you're as distinguished as you look. I saw you on Sci-Fi when you did the Ancient Aliens.
So you don't think I have a face for radio, huh?
No, but definitely for TV.
All right, Bruce, take care.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. What a story. Let's go back to Canada. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa calling.
Hi, Lisa calling.
I have a...
That's an interesting last name, Colleen.
What's that?
Your last name. Isn't it Lisa calling?
Sure. Yes, this is Lisa.
What's going on?
I'd like to tell everybody that I had the swine flu, and I got over it. And I took a lot of vitamin C. And I took a lot of natural stuff also with the Tamiflu antibiotic. And it was the most worst experience that I've ever had to go through in my life.
How long did you have it?
Total of 11 days. And my fever never broke until the 11th day.
11 days. Did you think you were going to die?
I did. I thought everyone in my family, they even looked at me and they were like, you are... seriously ill. Like, I was white, I was pale, I was sweating all the time, but I was cold, and it was, my head was pounding, and my body ached so bad I could hardly even walk.
Like, God, I'm glad you fought it off. Now, some people say that this little respiratory thing lasts for weeks and weeks and weeks. Do you have that?
No, it was nothing. There was no signs of any type of, like, how would I say it? Any type of, like, cold or anything. There was no runny nose. There was no sore throat. There was no coughing or nothing. It was just fever, body ache, and head, like, a pounding headache. And it was all over the place.
You're back to 100% now.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I actually thought when I went into the emergency room in Miami, I thought that I had like a stomach flu because I've had the stomach flu before. And you know, you get kind of a little bit of a body ache when you have a stomach flu.
Yeah, but that only lasts like a day.
Yeah. But now here's a twist to this. 3 days before I was in Miami in the emergency room, I was in McAllen, Texas, where very close to where the teacher had died.
Yes, the first one.
Yes. And I was in McAllen for 2 weeks, and I was going back and forth over the border, going to Mexico, doing shopping and stuff. And then from there, I went to Miami, and it was the third day that I was in Miami that I ended up in the emergency room.
On a 1 to 10, was this the worst flu you've ever had?
Oh, definitely. I have had pneumonia before, bronchitis, everything. And this was like nothing that I've ever felt in my life.
Glad you fought it off.
I took a lot of vitamin C. It was the packets of vitamin C that you mix with water.
Yep.
And to stay hydrated and stuff. And I just took a lot of vitamin C. I took immune-boosting vitamins, and I drank a lot of green tea, a lot of hot tea. I used honey in my green tea, and it was just awful. My fever did not break at all until the 11th day.
That's crazy.
Literally between 102.4 and 103.6.
That's getting close to having convulsions. Lisa, I'm glad you're doing okay. And it seems like you did it the right way, naturally. Let's go to Tacoma, Washington. Hello, Mike. Take it away.
Hey, George. How are you, buddy?
Good, Michael.
Okay. God bless you for what you do. Hey, well, what's your call screener's first name over there? What's her name?
That's Gina.
She's awesome. I wish her good luck, man. You got the right lady on the...
He trained her.
Oh, man. Hey. The best. What can I say? Hey, listen, I called you about this this priest that you have, okay?
The one that was just on this last part of this week.
Yeah.
Michael Diamond?
Okay. This is my own personal opinion, and I'm kind of worried about you, because this guy, you know, claiming that these aliens, first off, I've been into the UFO scene since the early 60s. I've never seen aliens. I've seen plenty of UFOs. But for him to go around and say that, you know, all these aliens are Satan, I think he's gone 180 degrees, you know, off the Richter scale, or he's been in the confessional too long, or he's hitting the wine too long. Because, you know, for someone to make statements like that, you know, back in the 60s, or 50s, late 50s, they had ministers saying because rock and roll was going on that the teenagers were caused by Satan. I mean, I don't believe that. I personally don't believe that, and I'm worried about you because you sound like he gets you into this, where you become naive and gullible.
No, well, Mike, you'll never know my views because that's my role. You know, it's my job to get these guests on, and you decide what they're saying.
Well, I understand that.
But because I have them on doesn't mean I agree with them.
Well, it sounded like it, but like I said, besides that.
And I don't do the kind of program where I could be so argumentative with them. You know, yeah. I'm not going to sit there screaming with them for 3 hours.
Well, no, I understand that, but I just felt that he was, you know, he wasn't balanced on the reality of you know, what's out there. And you can't claim that everything's, you know, coming from Satan and we're going to be in fear of everything.
I agree.
You know, in my own personal opinion. But what I want to say is that you are doing a fantastic job. You know what I mean? And I want to wish you good luck every day and a lot of blessings in your life and for your father and your parents. Mine have passed away, and they're all up in heaven there. And if there's ever a time that I hope I can meet you in person, and if I can ever, you know, work with you up the road sometime,
sure thing,
to better this country. And to fight socialism and all the other avenues that are you know, taking our freedoms away, I want to encourage everyone to stand up through all the darkness that's going on. And this is one time that isn't going to give up anything. Our men and women have given of their lives, and we could give no less. And so thank you, and God bless you for giving me an avenue. And I want to say in regards to these census takers, you only have to answer one question, and that's how many. And don't let them get into your house because this is an act of socialism and communism, and stand up for your freedom.
Don't let anybody in your house. Hey, Mike, let me take one more quick call, and we got to run. I only got about 20 seconds. Sarah in Windsor, we probably don't have time for you, Sarah, but I'll wave at you out the window. Do you see me? I'm standing up waving.
Hi, I can see you.
There I am. But we're out of time. So what's up?
I'm 25. My dad absolutely got me hooked on your show, and I have suffered from sleep paralysis. I've talked to a couple doctors. Now, I get this probably a few times a month, and the first time I had it, I got it when I was a kid. I talked to a few doctors, and nobody can do anything for me.
See, there's two kinds of sleep paralysis, Sarah. One is a medical condition. The other is like the old hag condition. So you call in next time when we have more time. But I see you outside across the river waving. I'll be back.